Well, good morning. It's hard to beat the panel from last week, but I'm here. So it's been a while since I preached here, and I'm looking forward to it. I have a story that goes like this. It's Palm Sunday, and a little boy was sick. Well, apparently he was sick. He thought he was sick, so he stayed home from church, thought he'd get out of church that Sunday, and stayed home with his mother, and his father went to church. And father comes home carrying a palm branch. And the child's wondering, why do you have a palm branch, Dad? And so the dad thought this was a great teaching moment and said, well, on Palm Sunday, it's the Sunday we celebrate that Jesus came into town, and so everyone was given a palm branch and we waved it. And the boy thought for a moment and said, oh, shucks, the one Sunday I missed, Jesus showed up. But think about that for a moment. It's a little funny story, but Jesus showed up. This Sunday we celebrate that Jesus shows up. And as we examine this passage, which is all too familiar for many of us who've been in church for a while, it's a reminder that Jesus showed up. And he didn't just show up once, he continues to show up time and time again. For those of you here last Sunday, you saw that Jesus showed up time and time again in the lives of the people who shared their journey as they discovered how God can work in their lives. And this morning, as we prepare for this service and Easter and the week after, we're going to be looking at passages that's often described as Jesus prepared to become the king. Maybe not the king they were expecting, but a king nonetheless. So I want to get you to open your Bibles and turn to Matthew 21. It's not going to be on the screen today, so if you have your Bible, I want you to open it up. If it's on your phone, open it up. We know you're not texting or anything. That's fine. We won't judge. And if you don't have a Bible and want one, there's ones at the back, or you can just listen. I feel it's important to hear God's word. I'm reading from Matthew 21, verses 1 to 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent his two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs you, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread the cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed him shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Let's pray. Lord, as we hear your word, we just ask that you speak to us through it. Lord, we pray as we look through this word and this scripture that you will remind us that you are the king. You came that Sunday. You came that day to come into town. Just pray that as we work through this passage this morning that you would speak to us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The preparation for the king. We're taking the next three Sundays to focus on the Easter story, also known as often the road to the cross. And when you read through these gospels, you see that Christ came to the world to the cross for you and for me. Today we examine the passage of scripture that's often referred to as Palm Sunday. It's a story of anticipation. It's a story of preparation for the wonderful Easter story. But I have a question for you. Have you ever been in a town where a special person is coming in? Do you know what it takes to prepare for that special person to come? Maybe it's a special event or something's coming along. And I think back to the Olympics and when they came to the place specifically for Canada, there was a lot of preparations that took place for the coming Olympics. One of the things that they did was organize prepared people to carry a torch through different cities and towns, and it made its way through the country, passing the flame from one person to the next. People lined up on streets to see someone come running through with the torch. And when we lived in Olds, I had a friend that signed up and was chosen to be one of those torch bearers. And we traveled to the nearby town Bowdoin, because that's where his little section was. And we saw him take his torch, and it got lit, and he carried it a little bit, and then he passed it on to someone else. Then we raced back to Olds to see the big festivities, because Bowdoin's a bit smaller than Olds. So we went back to Olds to watch it and see it and celebrate with the whole town. And my son at the time was a little bit older, but he was watching and studying videography. So while the rest of us were watching the parade and all this torch, he, guess where he was staring at? The camera. And he stared right into the camera, and he just kept looking at the camera while everyone else was watching what was going on. It was funny looking back and seeing the videotape of it and seeing him staring and waving at the camera while everyone else is waving at going by. He may have missed the point. But Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem also required preparation. It was going to be a special occasion like no other they had seen in decades or years or generations. This coming Messiah was coming to claim the rightful place that they wanted, coming to Jerusalem, the center of their faith. You see, Jesus' triumphal entry in Jerusalem also required that preparation. Well, in Mexico, when we were making our way from Phoenix Airport into Mexico, we stopped at a little town for some gas and for some food. And as we pulled off the interstate, the crossing we had to go across, there was a police car there with its lights on, kind of doing something with the traffic. And then we drove a little bit farther. There's another police car with their lights on doing something with the traffic. And we kind of got out of there before whatever happened. We didn't know. But as we're filling up the truck, I'm watching. And all of a sudden, there's this parade of police cars, all unmarked, some marked, all lights are blaring and sirens going and things going by. We figured someone important must be coming through. I stopped counting after 15 cars. And we wondered, who would this person be that would need such a transport? And as soon as they went through, those police officers in the intersections went away. I don't know what it was. We figured it was something important. But shouldn't Jesus have needed that type of transportation as well? He entered Jerusalem. But what was needed for his grand presentation? The king is coming. They should look for the finest of chariots. The royal horses should be fully groomed to be pulled, the Son of God, because he's the Messiah. But look at the verses. Jesus tells them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied with a colt. Untie them and bring them to me. Why a donkey? Do you realize that since it was Passover, there's probably around 2 million people in and around Jerusalem at that time? This was the only time in Jesus' ministry that Jesus planned and promoted a public demonstration. Up to this time, he had cautioned people not to tell who he was, and he deliberately avoided public places. But Zechariah tells us, rejoice greatly, daughters of Zion. Shout, daughters of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly, and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Very specific. Christ was coming to Jerusalem to be presented as the king, the Messiah, the Savior. Yet he came in a lowly way. He wasn't coming as a conquering king as they hoped to. He wasn't coming as a warrior to defeat the Roman armies. He was coming as a king. He wasn't coming with judgment, but coming with salvation to prove that he was the king, the Messiah. And he came to fulfill scripture. He came on this donkey, an unridden donkey that no one has ever done or since has done. He came to prove that he was the Messiah, and the people knew it. The religious leaders, they knew it. And that only enraged them even more. That's why God chose a donkey. That's why God decided to ride on an unclean animal to prove that he was God, fulfilling all the prophecies written about the Messiah. But look at the willingness of the owner. In prepping this donkey this time, the owner was already prepared. Every detail of Christ's road to the cross was prepared and planned. The owner knew he would be asked about the donkey. He knew when he heard the words, the master, there were no other words needed. There's no other message given of why. No other explanation. There's no contract. There's no rental agreement. I'm not even sure if he got the donkey back. You see, there's no question that God had prepared the owner's willingness to give of his animal for the Savior, for the Messiah. Think about this. God prepared the hearts of the people who were watching that donkey. In preparation for Easter, are you open and willing and listening to God speaking in your life? Are you willing and open? God wants to say to you. The week leading up to Easter is often referred to as the Holy Week or the Passion Week. And the week that we look at what Christ did on the road to the cross and over these next few Sundays, we'll be discussing that road to the cross. But it was during Christ's triumphal entry. So I ask you, is God preparing your heart for this Easter season? What are you doing to prepare for the coming King? Are you viewing Easter as a holiday, a time to get some time off, just another time or excuse to gather together with people and friends and family, which is not bad, but what is Easter to you? My prayer and hope is that as you this coming week and as we observe Palm Sunday and in this coming week on Friday and next Sunday in the early morning, for those of you, it's you normally come to 11. We have a service at 6:15. I know it's a little bit early. But maybe God's saying, come. Prepare for the coming King. It's coming out to gather with other believers and followers of Christ and to remember what Christ has done for us on the cross. Someone once said, nothing is more noteworthy than this, that Jesus of all glory became a servant for us. Because he presented himself as the King. When the two disciples went and brought the animal, they placed it in front of him, laying their cloaks as a sign of submission and willingness and a commitment to him. He got on the colt to prepare himself for the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Thousands would be watching, thousands would be seeing it. Folks, there was no Twitter back then, no Facebook, no news media. There's no paparazzi. They weren't there. In Jesus' plan and preparation, he didn't tell his disciples to go ahead of him and broadcast and let the people know he was coming. He just went. He didn't have to spread the word that Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, was coming to present as King. He just went. He went on a donkey making a public declaration of who he was, presenting to be the Savior. Like the kings of the past who would ride battle, come back from battle, ride a donkey in victory, he came as a humble servant. One author writes this, Jesus sees a further enactment of the royal psalm yet to come, the messianic theme. It reaches a new level of intensity. As kingly qualities are applied to Jesus, he comes into his own city, the son of David, really legally, rightfully, entering the city of David. You see, this is how Christ was presented to the people in his proclamation. And he presents it. And the crowds that went before him and followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. They didn't need broadcasting that he was coming. The crowd did a great job. His popularity with the people was growing. People were hearing that this man who raised people from the dead, made the blind to see, he was the Messiah, the long-awaited King. Do you realize that these people were quoting scripture? Psalm 118, O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made the light shine upon us. Blessings. The Messiah is coming to take away our pain, they thought, to take away our suffering under the Roman rule. He has come, and see, he is coming. He's here. He's down the street of Jerusalem to restore what is ours, to give back to us what God has given to us. He has come to rescue me. Thoughts that may have raced through their heads. The Messiah will rescue us. The Messiah will free us from our captivities. The Messiah will bring order to the corrupt Roman Empire. The Messiah will be our leader, they yell and claim. They were chanting and cheering for Jesus as he rode on the colt coming to Jerusalem. Not only did they cheer, but their actions also showed the people watching that something was special. Branches were cut and laid on the road before him. Their clothing was taken off and placed in front of Jesus as he rode. It was a sign of willingness to follow. I like how Matthew describes the scene. The whole city was stirred up. This wasn't some march down the street that only nearbyers saw. The whole city was wondering what was going on. Remember, thousands had come to Jerusalem for the Passover time. It was a custom to travel far distances to Jerusalem for the Passover. And now the city is abuzz with this procession of someone coming in. I want to take a few moments to look at the various Gospels outside of Matthew that describe it. Mark says, those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. Coming kingdom. They're looking for a kingdom here on earth. Luke puts it this way, when he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Luke describes this accolades coming from the disciples of Christ, not just the 12, but the many that had followed Jesus during that time. The following was not small. This was the first indication of the mega church following. There's a hint of what was to come. John continues to say, now the crowd that was with him when they called the Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. The many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. The crowd, made up of many people, the chosen disciple, those 12 men, the following disciples, those who had chosen to follow Jesus larger, the people who witnessed some of the miracles, wanted to see more, came along. They were responsible for organizing event coming. They knew in their hearts it wasn't about them, but their hearts weren't transformed yet. I could well imagine they're the ones that were shouting Hosanna, these people that saw what Jesus was doing and shouting Hosanna. Luke says, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Jesus knew that this voice would be heard. And yet the leaders, the religious leaders, they were outraged that the people are flocking to Jesus. It was, after all, the Passover. The people should be praising and honoring God, not what they thought about this teacher or a prophet they claimed. There's no way that he could be the Messiah. Imagine this. The prophetic scriptures require that the Lamb of God be crucified on the Passover. The religious leaders missed the Messiah. They read all about him in the scriptures. They studied the scriptures, yet they couldn't translate their teaching into an actual practice. They even missed the Messiah when he walked by. The proclamation by the people was a great offense to the religious leaders of the day. Sadly, it challenged their authority, the authority given to them by God, yet they were not willing to step out of the way when God walked by. You see, the proclamation of the people only spurred the religious leaders to be more determined to stop this man, whom they saw as a threat to their authority. Christ went to Jerusalem on the road to the cross, knowing that the many who were cheering for him that day would quickly turn and shout in anger against him. He knew that the people yelling, "Hosanna, blessed is he," a week later are going to be shouting something else. And I wonder, how often do we do the same? How often do I do the same? When God doesn't come through for us, do we turn? If God doesn't do what we think he should do, do we turn? You see, the good news is that Christ continued on the road to the cross for the lost, for the brokenhearted, and for us. He knew the hearts of the people. He knew they would turn against him, and yet he went to the cross for us. The final part of this message is entitled "The Pledge of His Return." It's been written this way: although this event is often referred to as a triumphal entry, it was a way of betrayal, crucifixion, and death, that the king was to triumph over death for his people. Triumphal entry? Yes. And the passage describes and illustrates this triumphal entry into Jerusalem to triumph over death. But there will come a day which it once again will come and triumph like no other day and no other possession you've ever seen. 1 Thessalonians reminds us, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive or left will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." I wanted to leave you with that encouragement. You see, this passage speaks of a triumphal entry, but there'll be a more incredible triumphal entry when Christ returns. When we celebrate Palm Sunday, we are reminded of victory over death by Christ's work on the cross, dying for our sins. We can and must look forward to the day that Christ will return and will come back for those who've given their lives over to Christ, those who accepted God's free gift of salvation. You see, on that day, the crowds won't have to ask what's going on. God will come in all of his glory to receive those unto his own. It'll be a more excellent triumph entry than we've ever seen. It's something I don't want to miss. It's for those who have put their trust in the risen Savior, and I hope this week, if you are struggling, if you are wondering what it means to be a follower of Christ, I encourage you to reach out to someone, talk with someone. We'd love to share that with you. As the worship team comes forward to prepare the song of response, may I encourage you this day and this week, as you prepare to celebrate Easter, this is the time to give yourself entirely to God. If you haven't accepted Christ's free gift of salvation, do it today. Don't wait. Do it this week. Don't wait. Join with the many others in this room who celebrate this week that we serve a risen Savior. I'd be happy to talk with you and share with you more if you have any questions that lead us to the road to the cross. Now let's sing in response.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We trust you have been encouraged and challenged in your faith journey. If you're desiring prayer, want more information on our church, want to partner with us, or be involved in any way, please go to our website at mountoliveefc.com. We'll see you next time.